Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Clones, welcome back. The smack-off date is set. Friday, July 28th. Mark your calendar, punch your ticket. Legends, RSVP, make a name for yourself. Had a great day today, especially in the way of interviews. Lakers head coach Luke Walton was tremendous. The NHL and MLB Network's Tony Lufman joined us, a true clone and a friend of the program. He broke down the Stanley Cup final, tied up at 2 games apiece. And World Series champ and 9-time All-Star Gary Sheffield let it rip the way he always does. Great to get caught up with him. Alvy, you've got a lot to get done. Alvy, you've got a lot to get done, so let's not waste any time. Roll that thing. In the meantime, many of you have been waiting for me to announce the smack-off date. Obviously, the contestants want to know when it is. Many of you listening need the date so you can put in the time to get off of work so you can listen and get your party on that day. Here it is. Smack-off 23. And it's a side. I can't believe we've done this now 23 times. Smack-off 23. Smack-off 23. Arguably the most important day of the year in the jungle. Every single year. Smack-off 23 is going to be Friday. This Friday. No, just kidding. Friday, July 28th. Friday, July 28th. So you have time. Friday, July 28th. Mark it down. Friday, the 28th. Listeners, do what you have to do to get that day off and make it a 3-day weekend. Gather around the box. Fire down your beverage of choice. Get that day off, Friday, July 28th. As for the callers, they want to be there that day, it's invite only. If you're already in the field and you're coming for the champ and the $5,000 first prize, that's your prize package once again. $5,000 to the winner. If you're coming for the champ and that check, now you know when the event is. Friday, July 28th, invite only, winner take all. And if you're coming for the champ, you know Leffen Laguna is the guy you have to beat. A guy who 2 years ago buzzed our office in a chopper, only to raise the bar last year when he bum-rushed the studio.
If you're listening to the show right now, stop whatever the hell you're doing. If you're driving, pull over. If you're working, stop. I'm about to take this call where no call has ever gone before. This is one small step for a clone and one giant leap for clone kind. That's right. I'm literally standing right outside the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio door. Let's see who's home. We're walking. Oh, KB. Nice shorts, bro. You cut those yourself? You're looking good. Alvy, don't you put a bounce house in here? That's awesome. What's up, guys? I'm looking right across the glass, and Jim Rome's staring right at me. I'm going in.
Bro, you gotta be kidding me. You're in my house and you're rocking a Richie Incognito gamer.
You got it, Jimmy.
Lef, what the hell are you doing in my house?
This call's about
How the hell did you get in here, Lef?
Romy, this call's about to get real good for everyone except Brad and Corona. Jimmy, let me thank you for allowing me in the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. Better parts, better prices every day.
This guy got inside my house, but just getting in the door was not enough. You have to stay there once you're in. And if you have any designs on winning this thing, you have to close the show.
Now, Romy, it's Friday, so it's also an Ask the Pros Day. So let me handle this one. This comes right from, oh, look, Brad and Corona. Brad writes, hey, Lef, I got no athletic ability. I suffer from low T. I rarely call the jungle. I got no social media presence. And clones are growing tired of my wacky voices and penile references. You, on the other hand, Lef, are fresh, cool, your takes are hilarious, and you have incredible sports knowledge. What do I do? XOXO, kissy face, Brad. Well, Brad, I got one answer for you. Put more effort in, loser. Punch your filth in the face repeatedly and stop sharing skinny jeans with your wife. And Brad, you need to stop watching all that TMZ and you need to start watching some more sports. So Brad, let me help you out with that. It's time for your sports update. My man Rich Ackerman's got it. Rich?
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
All right, Lef, breaking news we're following out of the Inland Empire. Corona police arrested a man-child today after discovering his elaborate plans to impersonate several different people using the same voice and wacky cartoon sounds in order to fraudulently win a radio contest. The Corona Boy was released after surrendering his script, but authorities believe he now intends on calling the radio show and impersonating a man with sports knowledge. We'll keep you updated right here on the Jim Rome Show.
Thanks, Rich Smackerman. You see, Brad, 2016 was the year of diminishing abilities and retired champions. Kobe, Peyton, Duncan. And to that list, I just added Brad and Corona. And Brad, now that I just carved you up so bad on Jim's mic, because you like impressions so much, here's one for you.
Time to die.
I mean, it was a truly surreal and iconic moment in show history. And I think lost in all this was the degree of difficulty of what that guy did. He comes in the studio and he delivers the Smackerman update. He had the Richie Incognito Gamer, which he signed for me in person. And he had the helium balloon, which he opened up, sucked the helium out, and then went with the impression. I mean, all those things, any one of those things, he could have butchered, and he nailed all of them. So a truly surreal and iconic moment in show history. Ionic. And enough for Left to rip that crown. Question is, does he have another ionic moment like that ionic in him? If you've already buzzed the tower in a chopper and then you bum rush the studio, what do you have to do to up the ante? And you knew whatever it is, this guy's giving it serious thought. So what do you have to do to beat him? What does he have to do to top himself? And then what do you have to do to beat him? Well, that's all on you. That's all on him. And you got to find a way to get an invite, then make the most of it. Remember, it's invite only. You have to play your way in. If you're not a former champ and you already do not have an existing invite, there's only one way to get it. You need to rip a golden ticket. And to get one of those, you have to call the program and do or say something that's golden ticket worthy. I've got a stack. Come and get one. If you're good enough, you're officially on the clock right now because we now have an official date. Smack Off 23, Friday, July 28th. Winner take all. $5,000 first prize. Start calling. Lakers head coach Luke Walton joins us. Luke, it is great to have you back. How are you, Luke?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me on. How have you been?
Man, I'm great. I'm great. Luke, how about you? How are things?
Good. We're just busy here. We got a lot of draft workouts going on, and a bunch of our own young players are coming in pretty much Monday through Friday and getting weight work in and getting individual skill work in. So it's nice. It's for not being in the playoffs and being part of a rebuilding mode, the energy is great around here, and we're having a lot of fun with it.
So you guys are doing some work. Luke, in terms of being in a rebuilding mode and not making the postseason, listen, you've got that first season under your belt. Obviously, you're somebody who always wants to win, but you were pretty clear that the team was not going to win a championship this year. So as you look back on that first year, what was or was it as you expected, and what's your biggest takeaway?
It was what I expected, for the most part. I think it gets a little harder than you anticipate when you're in the middle of it, when you're losing, you're going on losing streaks and, you're trying to coach to win every game, but at the same time, you're trying to make the point of what's most important for us as a group, which was trying to set a foundation for the future and develop young players, but also making them realize that they have to earn their minutes. So there's all these different things going into the mix as the season went along. But it was a lot of fun, and it was. Looking back on it, I think we did a really good job of getting better and getting some of our winning habits and our winning culture in place, which is only going to help us into this off season. We can already see it in this off season, and obviously, most importantly, into the regular season as the years go by.
Clones. Let me talk to you for one moment about Stamps.com. Stamps.com saves you time and money, which you can use to grow your business. I can mail any letter, any package, using just my computer and printer, and the mailman picks it right up. I can avoid the hassle of the post office and mail everything from postcards to envelopes to packages, domestic or international. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer and printer. I use Stamps.com for a number of reasons, but most of all, because I hate going to the post office, and I'll never do it ever again. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the very top of the homepage. Type in Rome. Stamps.com. Enter Rome. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office ever again. That's Stamps.com. Now it's back to our Daily Jungle. Lakers head coach Luke Walton joining us. You know, Luke, I wonder, based on what you just said, when you start to establish that culture, how important was the way you closed out the regular season? As an example, you win 5 of your last 6. Luke, I mean, we could certainly argue that the smarter move from a draft standpoint would have been to lose those games, but how valuable was it for the players to win 5 straight, which was the longest winning streak for the team since 2013?
For us, it was very important because, and listen, I get it. I was reading all the same articles, and I actually, you know, you have the same thoughts when it comes to the lottery, and you're not, you're not making the playoffs. What's best for the team? To give yourself the best opportunity to get the highest pick, or to let the players feel winning and kind of start to create that sense of what it feels like in that part of the culture. A lot of people don't realize that winning is a skill too. There's all these skills that go into it, but learning how to win games at the end is something that young players need to figure out in this league. So, you know, sitting down with Magic and Rob and the players, you know, we wanted them to feel that, and we wanted to use that to go into the off season with some momentum, and it worked because our players are excited. They're coming in every single day, and from my days with Phil Jackson, I'm a strong believer in when you do things the right way, the basketball gods will take care of you, and you know, if we would have ended up losing all those games and keeping that second worst record in the league, we would have been the team that had dropped to 4, and we wouldn't have our pick right now. So the basketball gods took care of us again.
Luke Walton joining us. They certainly did. You get that second pick. You know, you look at it, Luke, you mentioned Magic Johnson. He arrives this season as president of basketball ops. Rob Pelinka comes in as GM. What's it been like working with the two of them, and how different is it now that they're both involved?
You know, it's been great working with them. It really has, and I'm just trying to, you know, I don't want it to come off at all as if I didn't enjoy working with Jimmy and Mitch, because I really did. We had a good relationship, and obviously they were the ones that hired me. So I got along great with them. So I don't want the answers to come off at all as if this wasn't the case with them, but with you know, with Magic and Rob, there's been a great cohesiveness, the communication as far as what we're looking for, what we need, you know, is pretty much takes place every day. You know, they come down and watch the on the court stuff, and then I come up after practice. We talk about different players. We talk about what we're seeing, what direction we need to go, and it's really just a lot of a lot of different opinions, and then we sit down and try to decide what's best for us, and it's an exciting time right now. I think that the organization is back in the headlines a lot right now for positive things, which is only going to help us, you know, down the road as we're trying to, you know, get free agents selecting players in the draft and working our own younger players to get better. All these things happen when you have the right type of culture and foundation for an organization. I think we're on the right path of doing that.
We're talking LA Lakers head coach Luke Walton. Luke, assuming you keep that second pick and you make it, what kind of a player are you looking for with that second pick?
Well, I think, you know, my opinion has always been go get the best player available. And, you know, for us it's great because there's so many really good players available in this year's draft. I'm telling you, Jim, it's also my job is so phenomenal. I come to work every morning. We work college kids out on certain days. Our kids are in. I shouldn't say our kids. Our young men are in every day. So I get to work with them. I go home. I watch game tapes on the top 5 or 6 prospects in the draft. And these college players that are coming out are really dang good. So it's going to be really tough. We're working out Lonzo Ball tomorrow. We're taking them to dinner tonight. So we're going to start to get these kids in front of us, get to know them, get to see what they look like in person on the court and not just on the tape. But at the end of the day, we're going to sit down there and I'll give my opinion on who I think the best player is available. And then Magic and Rob will make the call. And hopefully it's someone that can come in and help us win ball games.
So, look, when you work out Lonzo and then you sit down and you have dinner with him, is Pops LeVar expected to attend as well?
Not to my understanding. If he is, nobody's told me yet. I don't plan on him being here, but I guess that could just be a lack of communication if he is.
And if he chooses to come or wants to come, what would your response be? Would you welcome him at that dinner?
Absolutely. If he wanted to come to the dinner, I think the workout is, you know, something that we, you know, we'll keep the doors closed on. But you know, the dinner, if you know, I think he would definitely make the dinner more entertaining. He's definitely welcome to join us for that one.
Yeah, look, bottom line on this, I mean, obviously, this is a father who's got a lot of thoughts. He's not shy about expressing those thoughts. Would you have any concerns about bringing in a player with a parent who would try to be involved or who's got opinions such as his?
No, I wouldn't. This is, we're in the NBA. That's not an issue. There's parents are always going to have their opinions. They're going to be outspoken at times. As you know, Jim, I have a very outspoken father myself.
Sure.
And it doesn't bother me. I'm not, you know, we're going to coach, if we were to draft him, you know, we're going to coach him. He's going to be part of our team. He's going to be part of our family. And, you know, we'll go from there. And this is the NBA, and, we'll keep the team where it needs to be. And, we'll not let outside things like that influence us on whether or not we pick a kid.
Lakers head coach Luke Walton joining us. Luke, before you go, and I do appreciate your time, it's great to have you back. USA Today mentioned that you and Steve Kerr watched game one of the NBA Finals from the locker room at Oracle. What was that experience like?
It was awesome. Obviously, Steve means a great deal to me, and he's been such an influence in my coaching career and in my life. So to be able to go up there and spend time with him in the back and just literally talk about nothing but basketball and game one and adjustments and who's playing, what possible adjustments they might make, and just to see him get caught up in the moment and kind of forget about how bad he, you know, he hurts sometimes, was a lot of fun to be able to do that with him.
Final thought then, what do you make of how Kevin Durant has fit into that team, both from a production standpoint and from a chemistry standpoint?
It's incredible. It really is. He's always been, he's always been one of the top players in the league, and you know, arguably the best offensive player, most talented. He's 6'10". There's nothing you can really do, I mean, to guard him. And we used, you know, playing against him, you used to have to send 2-3 guys at him all the time. And now he's come in, and I think it speaks to how selfless their culture is up there. And you know, the idea of the way they play with what D put in from day one when we got up there, that he, you know, he just, he passes, he cuts, he doesn't really run iso ball anymore, and it just makes it dang near impossible to guard them when they play like that. But, you know, I also give Kevin Durant a lot of credit, because to have as much talent and skill as he does, to go in there and just, you know, give himself to the team and say, all right, this is how we play. I'll play how you guys play. Is pretty, doesn't happen often. It's pretty special for a superstar to buy in like that.
Let me start with the NHL. Smashville, mission accomplished. What a night that was. After outshooting, outplaying, and outhitting Pittsburgh in their barn twice, and having nothing to show for it, the Preds come home, down 2-0 and seemingly dead, needing to beat the defending champs 4 times in 5 games to shock the world. Fact is, they were a great story, but that was simply too much to ask. Coming back on the defending champs, who are impossible to kill. But even then, it was still an amazing ride. From the 16 seed and the last team in to advancing all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. And even if they were not going to get their name on the cup, it was still an experience, a ride of a lifetime. It put Smashville on the map nationally. It's still all right. It's going to be fine, even if they don't come through. Wrong answer. Because the Preds do come back home, and then they do what they always do in that insane barn in front of their insane fans. The players play tremendous defense. They clutch up, and they get key goals, and they ride their best player, Pekka Rinne, who was standing on his freaking head once again all night long. Now we have a series tied up at 2 games apiece. Now we head back to Pittsburgh in a tie series, and it's a best of three. And the Preds have guaranteed themselves at least one more home game, which it means at least one more party for the ages in Smashville. As I tweeted last night, it's not Golden State's fault they're blowing out the Cavs, but the Stanley Cup final has been so much better than the NBA Finals. The NHL postseason has crushed the NBA postseason. I mean, there really has not been one compelling series in the NBA playoffs, but every single series, every game, every period, every face-off has mattered in the NHL, especially with Nashville v. Pittsburgh. It's that good. And maybe it's because he made it back home, or maybe it's because somebody reminded Pekka Rinne that he's Pekka Rinne, but when that guy is that unconscious and he is stoning Pittsburgh's best time and time again from point-blank range and snatching souls, you're not beating this dude. He may have only made 23 saves, but a number of those were game-saving, series-saving saves. Dude went absolute legend when they had to have it most, stopping multiple breakaways and point-blank attempts after a 2-game detour from his alleged Conn Smythe campaign.
Now an outlet pass for Crosby. Here he comes. Backhand shot. Save without a second stop by Rinne. Puck is loose. Diving across is Rinne to make his best save of the series. He stopped Crosby twice and then a diving stop. And then the puck deflects out of play at the other end.
Unbelievable.
This guy was incredible last night. I mean, I've never seen him better than he was last night. But the obvious question is, does that effort and that performance travel? We know what Rinne can do at Bridgestone, but can he repeat that in Pittsburgh? He's going to have to, because they're not going to beat the Penguins in their house without it. The next best thing to Pekka finding his game was the unexpected power sources. They were stepping up for the Preds last night, like Victor Arvidsson, who put this one on ice in the third period when he snapped his 15-game scoreless drought.
Now it is set ahead for Arvidsson. Moving in. He shoots. He scores! Victor Arvidsson with his first goal in 16 games since the first round against Chicago, giving the Predators a 3-1 lead.
And could not come at a better time. Thanks to Westwood One for that. Fact is, Well, all the mo has shifted back to Nashville. The Penguins are still in the driver's seat. In this sense, they still have the home ice, where they've been nearly unbeatable. But while they are tied up at two games apiece, they have pretty much been outplayed in four straight games. The Preds know that, just as they know they're getting another game back home. And that they're going to have to win one in the enemy's barn anyway to get their name on the cup. So this is as good as it gets. And the reason every year at this time I hammer home the same point, that the NHL postseason is the best postseason. I don't know how many different ways I can say that. You're probably sick of hearing me say that. Fine, then hear it from somebody else. Don't take my word for it. Take it from NBA Hall of Famer Charles Barkley.
I'm just glad to be here because the NBA playoffs have not been great, but the Stanley Cup playoffs have been amazing.
That's Chuck, last night. When he says the NBA playoffs have not been great, he means they've been horrible. And the NHL playoffs, they have been amazing. So back to Pittsburgh, series squared up at 2, mojo bouncing off both walls, and the pressure cooker shipping it back to the defending champ's house. Best of 3 for the best trophy in all of sports. This is as good as it gets. Tony Loughman. Tony, my man, what's going on? How are you?
I'm fantastic, Rome. I am a proud clone, and I want to publicly thank you because I have my dream job because of the opportunities I had working with you on your TV show, and I'm probably the only person, because of being a fan of yours, that's disappointed with the Nashville Predators national anthem singers. Until they bring out Carl Lewis, I will not feel like I've gotten the total experience that I'm looking for.
My man, Tony Loughman. Well done. Hey, Tony, listen, you earned that gig. You earned that gig, and I'm glad that you came on the show, and maybe somebody somewhere happened to see your work and you got that kind of exposure. But very quickly, before we talk about the finals, tell me about that gig and tell me about your life. How's it gone since you moved from California?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I've moved out here. I met the girl of my dreams, got married, so that part's awesome. The career part of it's been amazing, too. I work not only for NHL Network, but for MLB Network also, which is so cool because in the summer months I get to say Pedro Guerrero, and I know that that, again, is another influence of yours on my life. It's just an awesome place to work. I go there early every day and stay, and I just love the people I work with. It's a great team.
As you can tell, my man knows this show, Pedro Guerrero. All right, Tony, you landed in Pittsburgh this morning. Before we recap Game 4 and get ready for Game 5, start with the Preds fans. Nothing ever lives up to the hype, but it looked like that atmosphere in Smashville lived up to the hype. How insane are those folks?
Those people are what is right about hockey. People talk sometimes with a negative tone about traditional markets and non-traditional markets. That's a rabid hockey market. The sound of a jet aircraft in the military taking off is 130 decibels. That's how loud it gets at Bridgestone Arena. These people get it. They love the sport. They're 100% behind their team, and they've made a difference. They are the seventh man. That team has only lost once at home. It's extraordinary. It's the loudest barn in the league, according to Mike Fisher, their captain, and who are we to question him? He's a veteran, just turned 37 last night. It's so cool to see this because last year, the All-Star break was in Nashville, and I remember I turned to Kevin Weeks and Scott Stevens and Mike Rupp, and I said, can you imagine what this would be like if they had a real game here, like an important late-season game, maybe a playoff game? Here they are in the Cup Final doing just amazing things, and their fans there love them.
Tony Loughman joining us. I mean, they were off the hook for that exhibition. You can only imagine what it would be like, and now we know. Now we know. Now, if the folks in Nashville are getting after it the way they did all morning, all afternoon, and all night for Game 4, what would the mood be like in that city if the Preds win Game 5 and they come back with a chance to win the Stanley Cup at home in Game 6? I mean, is there another level that those people can still get to?
I've learned not to doubt them, just like we've learned not to doubt the team. There's so much passion surrounding the team, probably because it's a great team. We pay so much attention to how a team does in the regular season, and what we love about the hockey postseason and why I think so many people enjoy it is it's so unpredictable. The Preds were the lowest seed to get in the Western Conference, and not unlike the LA Kings in 2012, they've got an unbelievable goaltending, especially at home, from Pekka Rinne. In fact, the only goalie in the history of the NHL to post a better Stanley Cup home save percentage was Jonathan Quick by a thousandth of a point. That's how good Pekka Rinne has been in that building, and that's why they've only lost once in their own home venue.
All right, so he's been unbelievable at home, but how do you explain the fact that he struggled the first two games in Pittsburgh, and is that a concern as they head back to the Berg?
It is. Absolutely it is. It's so amazing how different this series has looked in each of the two different cities. You know, the Penguins were in total command, total control when they won the first two games here, and it, so much so that there were people wondering whether it would be UC Saros that got the look in net for Game 3. Wise move by Peter Laviolette not to make that change. By the way, so awesome for USA hockey fans that both coaches in this final series are both American-born. That's the first time that's ever happened. And whichever one wins it, whether it's Sullivan with the Pens or Laviolette with the Predators, it will be the first time an American coach has won two Stanley Cups. But back to the question you asked, I think it's amazing how different it is. You understand that the team has last change and home ice advantage is a big deal, but it's remarkable how sharp the contrast has been between the games played in Pittsburgh and the games played in Nashville. Rene and the Preds understand they cannot allow what happened in the first two games to happen in Game 5.
Tony Loughman joining us. All right, Tony, the Penguins, obviously, they're tough as hell. They're the defending champs. They've had their backs up against the wall before in the playoff run, but they've also gone seven games in each of the last two series. Is there any concern that at some point they might just run out of gas?
Absolutely, and it's a great point. Cumulative fatigue is something we hear about this time of the year. There hasn't been a repeat Stanley Cup champion since the Red Wings of 97 and 98, and it's not that there haven't been great teams. One thing is you have to be healthy, and Pens fans can tell you they have not been healthy. They're doing all this without Chris Letang, their best defenseman. He was a guy who figured in every goal that won last year's Cup final, each of their four wins, and had the Cup clincher. It's remarkable that they've done what they've done. Having said that, it's going to be very, very challenging for them because of that cumulative fatigue. You mentioned the 2-7 game series leading into this one, and this has been a physical series. It amazes me, and it's why the guys look so spent, both emotionally and physically, by the end of the Stanley Cup final. It's such a grind. It's so grueling, and your heart goes out to the team that doesn't win because they stand there at the other end of the rink and watch the team that does win go absolutely bonkers.
So obviously a critical Game 5. In your mind, what is the biggest key when it comes to who wins Game 5?
I think the Penguins' power play has to get going. It's alarming that they have one power play goal. They came into this series 25% on the man advantage, and typically power plays don't do as well in the postseason. These Penguins are tough to hold down because they have such great offensive weapons, including Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. But since they got that one power play goal on their first power play of the series, they haven't gotten another power play strike. And that drought concerns you because guys like Phil Kessel haven't been scoring as much in the regular season and in the postseason, 5-on-5. They figure to get penalties. They figure to draw power plays, but they've got to take advantage of that. That's a huge element of concern if I'm a Penguins fan.
They got to get the puck on the net to even have a chance of scoring. Before you go, what about Jake Guentzel, the pride of Omaha? 16 goals in the regular season, 13 in the playoffs for the Penguins, including 4 in the Stanley Cup Finals, 2 of which were game winners. How impressed are you by what you've seen from him?
Exceptionally impressed. We should mention all the American players who've ever scored more goals and points than Jake Guentzel in a Stanley Cup playoffs. No one, Jim. No one's ever scored more. It's unbelievable. This guy's played half a regular season. He's so unassuming. He looks 14. He'd get carded going to a PG-13 movie. It's amazing what he's been able to do and just keeps focused. I ask him every so often, hey, you know, is this sinking in? What kind of feelings and thoughts are you having? He just keeps focusing on the next thing, the next thing. His mental makeup is as extraordinary as his level of production. It's such a fascinating thing to watch him produce the way he has. You pointed out his numbers in the regular season. His first game in the NHL, his family was there, and he scored 2 goals in the first period. But I don't think anyone, including his family, and they love him dearly, could have predicted that he'd be this effective with this much pressure on.
Well, then, and to that point, Tony, you've had an amazing sports career, a glorious sports career, including your time with UCLA basketball. But coming into the Stanley Cup final, you had as many goals as Nashville's Freddie Gaudreau. But he's pulled ahead with 3 in the final, including 2 game winners. How do you explain a guy who doesn't even have a stall in Nashville's dressing room showing up the way that he has?
Rome, you are awesome for bringing that up. That is so cool. It's amazing. The Stanley Cup final, for years and years, has produced these kinds of stories. Mike Rupp is one of the guys that I enjoy working with the absolute most. Here he was in a similar scenario with the 0-3 Devils. He scored the Cup clincher in that series against the Anaheim Ducks, and he had a three-point night in Game 7. It's such a battle of attrition. Rupp likes to say he was fresh as a daisy. Well, if that's the only explanation for what Freddie Gaudreau's doing, so okay, he can fly around. But he's also making really skilled plays. This guy plays without fear, just like Jake Guentzel does. And to your point, my goodness, no goals in the regular season, and doesn't have a stall, but says he's happy he'll get dressed on the floor, whatever it takes. Those three goals have been important goals. Freddie Gaudreau is a great story. His first game in the Stanley Cup playoffs, he was taking draws against the Anaheim Ducks, best faceoff team in the league all year long. He goes 10 for 14 on the dot. This guy just has that mental makeup that allows him to excel in pressure-packed situations.
Remember, you can watch Tony Loughman as he hosts NHL Network's NHL Tonight, live from Pittsburgh's PPG Paints Arena before and after Thursday's Game 5. Tony, I mean this in all sincerity, brother. I'm very happy for you and very proud of you. When you came on that daily TV show, you showed up the same way every single day. You showed up the way you just did here. Great energy, great enthusiasm, and you continued to grind and you stayed on it. You got a great opportunity on the East Coast. You moved the entire operation back there, and you're just killing it, man. I'm really proud of you and really, really happy for you, Tony.
Oh, thanks so much, Jim. That means the world coming from you. And I, again, thank you so much for all that you've done to help me get here. I really appreciate it.
Gary Sheffield. Gary, it's great to have you back. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing, man?
Good, Gary. Great to talk to you. Gary, I want to call you back because I thought you wrote a really interesting piece in the Players Tribune recently. And let me start right there. Right off the top, you said, I'll be the first to admit, I don't watch as much baseball as I used to. Don't get me wrong, I still love the game. No other sport combines the level of strategy and pure skill the way baseball does. I really enjoy breaking it down for TBS, but during the dog days of the season, I just can't. End quote. So, bottom line, Gary, I know you love the game, but what keeps you from watching it as much as you used to?
Well, it ain't enough stars in the game that, you know, how when you turn on the TV and you see Michael Jordan's and LeBron James and things like that, you're going to watch their games no matter who they're playing or what seed they're playing. You're going to watch the game. But when I watch the Minnesota Twins play the Kansas City Royals, you know, it's like, who am I watching? And, you know, and it's no stars on the team that I could say that's going to show me something that's special or what have you. You know, I'm hearing all of these things about, you know, guys, you know, with launch angle and all of this and that, but they're not talking about pure hitting like they used to and like the way we used to. And when you see everybody's lineup, and I look at it from down here from Tampa area, you look at the Rays organization, and as an organization, they've striking out over 1,000 times already, and we're not in July yet. And so when I see that, I just say that it's just not pure baseball anymore.
Gary Sheffield joining us. So, Gary, on that notion of the stars, I mean, where did they all go? What happened to them? And then how do you fix that?
Well, during the they call it so-called the steroid era, which I it ain't no such thing as a steroid era. It's a baseball era. All the things that was in baseball when we played, it was in baseball before we played, and it's in baseball after we played. So, just the fact that Major League Baseball tried to, you know, keep, you know, our era on the outside looking in, and so, you know, a lot of guys that I talk to get disinterested in the game because they feel like Major League Baseball has turned their back on them. And, you know, we're not as involved like we used to be able to help young players develop.
Gary, do you have an issue with this notion of the steroid era? I mean, if so, what's your issue with that? And do you feel like baseball has turned your back or it's back on you and guys who played during your time?
Yeah, absolutely. Because at the end of the day, you know, people, you know, social media, they say what they want. After a while, it gets old and you just basically, you know, whatever you say is whatever you say. But at the end of the day, you know, my era was a great era of baseball and everybody benefited off of it. And when you get a big organization like Major League Baseball to turn its back on, you know, former players and not involve us, you know, so we get disinterested in the game and you just let the game take care of itself.
Gary Sheffield joining us. He won the batting title in 1992, a nine-time All-Star. You know, Gary, you write about a lot of things that are really interesting. One of the things that you'll hear is that pitchers throwing at batters is old school. That's part of the code. Now, you're an old school guy and you were never going to back down from anybody. So what do you make of this argument that pitchers throwing at batters is old school? And are you okay with that?
Well, it's no such thing as it's old school. People, that's just a term that people use. It's just it's a thing called the way to play the game. And you got guys, you know, like your guy throwing at Harper and the way he did it. And we're talking about something that happened 2 years ago. You know, Harper is just doing his job, and he plays with a ferocity that everybody can admire. And that's what I love about the kid. He plays with fire. You can look to your, you know, next to you, and he's standing there. You feel good about when you're going into the game because, you know, you got a player that's going to give his all. But the problem is that when Major League Baseball cracked down the penalties, you know, you can't, you know, say that the Washington Nationals got off because he only got 3 games and Strickland got 6 games. He means more to the team than this guy does. And this guy, you know, pitched 1 inning. This guy plays every single day and his team relies on him. And so that's the unfairness of it all, because if Major League Baseball can't police it, and that's the best they can do, that's why you see Harpers and the, you know, other guys go to the mound and take it amongst themselves.
Right. I mean, to that point, what do you think of a pitcher being able to throw at a batter, but a batter who really can't retaliate?
Well, I would never advocate, you know, going up there with a bat, knowing that I feel I need the bat. All I need to do is get to him and get my hands on it, you know. And I felt that's what Harper tried to do. He basically tried to deke him with the helmet. I don't think he was trying to hit him with the helmet. And, you know, a lot of people want to dispute that he was trying to hit him with the helmet. But I disagree with that. He just tried to deke him. You know, he's a big guy. But at the same time, you know, you're going up there, and even if you would have used the helmet, you know, I wouldn't have had a problem with it because, you know, you hit me with the ball because you felt like you wanted to do it, so I should be able to do what I want to do.
Gary Sheffield joining us. Gary, what about Buster Posey? Have you ever seen a catcher not move towards a batter going to the mound, and what did that tell you about what Posey was thinking?
Well, I'll tell you this. I played with a couple guys, you know, that would never go in the pile and mix it up with guys and or break up the fight or what have you because they're concerned about injuries and they feel like they're more important than anybody else. And, you know, I may play with those guys, but I never respect those guys. You know, I can, you know, get along with you because you're my teammate, but I would never respect anybody like that, you know. But Buster Posey's is a little different. I'd look at it as that was the worst case scenario you would ever see. I've never seen a catcher not intervene and hold a guy from getting to his pitcher. I've never seen a hitter besides A-Rod get in a fight with a catcher because a catcher is trying to hold him. So that was his job, just like Veritek did his job, keep him from going to the mound. And he took up for his teammate, and that brought chemistry to the team, and they wound up upsetting us in the playoffs. And that those are the kind of moments that when later on in the season, when it come down to gut-checking time, they know Veritek is a warrior, and they got rewarded for it.
Gary Sheffield, my guest. So who do you think less of, Posey for not getting involved or Strickland for dotting a guy who took him deep twice 3 years earlier? Which is worse?
Well, it's neck and neck, but, I mean, Strickland was a coward in that situation, and I think Posey was too. And I think, it's two lesser of the evils. I mean, you pick your poison. But I think that the Posey thing, to me, was a disgrace.
Gary Sheffield joining us. Now, Gary, somebody who played middle infield, somebody who played shortstop. I'm curious, what are your thoughts about whether or not you can slide into second base to break up double play? As somebody who played shortstop back in the day, what do you make of today's rules?
Well, I don't like the rule because the simple fact is if I can alter you from making a play, that's my job. And my job is to not let you, you know, throw my guy at first base. And I'm not trying to hurt you. I don't advocate guys going in there trying to blow guys' knees out. But you know what you signed up for as a shortstop. I played the position. I've been in the air 6 feet high and flipping and things like that because I was young. I didn't understand the speed of the game at the major league level. And I tried to turn a double play that I probably should have just ate the ball. And I wound up costing our team a run because I threw the ball away because I was 6 feet high in the air trying to throw a baseball. The guy took my legs out. But you know that if it's a play and it's a bang-bang play, as a shortstop, you know when you're standing on the base and you got the ball in your hand if you can turn it or not. So that's part of the game, and I think that's the beauty of the game. If I can prevent you from doing something, I should be able to do that. That's almost like, you know, them saying you can't contest a jump shot. And if you're not allowed to contest a jump shot, you're going to get killed all day long.
Gary Sheffield, my guest. Gary, you and I could do this for another hour or more. One more topic before we run out of time. What do you make of infield shifts? Do you like them or no?
No, I don't like that either because, you know, you have a position to play and you should play it. It's up to the pitcher to be able to get the hitter out. I don't mind, you know, you playing the first baseman close to the second baseman or a shortstop, you know, right to the left of the bag at second base. But I don't believe that you should be able to stand right behind a base or play in the outfield if you're not an outfielder. That's what they have the dirt for infielders to play in it. I don't mind you getting 2 feet in the grass, but you can't be, you know, 17 feet from your right fielder. I don't like that, you know, because it's basically saying I'm going to throw you inside and you can hit as hard as you can on the ground and I'm going to throw you out at first base. So that type of stuff, you know, to me, that's the easy way out.
We go to Chicago. Becky. Hi, Becky. How are you?
Hi, Rome. Thanks for the vine. Before I try to get this golden ticket or whatever, can I just ask one quick question, please?
Sure.
I heard a rumor that you were banned from Chicago. Is that true?
Banned from Chicago? Like I'm not allowed to fly into the city and be in the town? Banned from the airwaves? What do you mean?
Yeah, like you're not allowed to be in the city at all. On the airwaves, not in the city, nothing. I just heard that rumor through the grapevine. I just wanted to clear it up.
How could anybody be banned, much less a sports talk show host, from an entire city? Am I banned from the state too? Am I not allowed in America anymore? No, that's not true.
All right, I'm going to go to my take now. I'm sorry, I'm going to go to my take now.
Please do.
Thanks for taking my call, and I really mean thanks to you for taking my call, and thanks to your overpaid intern, who basically, I know it's going to cut me off right now, because he's cut me off for 20 years. I've tried to get through to this show. 20 years, your overpaid intern has tried to cut me off. He's rejected my emails, the phone calls. He let the phone ring 25 times yesterday, and then he picked up, and then he did this ad for I don't know what, and then today he did this whole thing again. And so I don't know what's going on, but can you just tell him I said thanks, Rome, for taking my call.
I really don't know what's going on, Becky, so let's just keep moving here. This is getting really weird. The intern that kept you off the show for 20 years, you mean that intern Hawk who started last year? And how did the intern read a commercial? That's really weird. I've had a lot of weird calls over the years, but that's right up there. But then again, any call that starts off with, hey, Rome, can you confirm or deny the rumor that you've been banned from Chicago? Hey, look, there's a lot of places where they like me. There's a lot of places where they don't like me. I don't know of any place, any city or town or state where I've been officially banned. Now, I hope it does happen. I'd be pretty disappointed if I didn't get banned from an entire state somewhere. Hey, Rome, you're not welcome in Nevada. Hey, Rome, don't you dare step foot in Pennsylvania. We're not having any of that. And that was weird. That was weird. And no, Beck, you did not get your golden ticket. That's not going to get you in. That was very strange. But folks do have some issues sometimes. Whatever that was. Clones, leave Becky alone. I know what you'll do with that. I know you better than you know yourselves, and I know what you'll do with that. Leave her alone. I don't really know what that was all about, but leave her alone. I've got a sense that maybe there may be a few issues there. No, we've never kept somebody intentionally off the show for 20 years. Now, there have been a couple of lifetime bans, and deservedly so, but the truth is, when Becky asks, why have I not been allowed to call your show for 20 years, I think that's the first I've ever heard of her. If somebody were not allowed for 20 years, don't you think I would know? I'm the only one who's been here for 20 years. Let's go to Pensacola quickly. Casey, what's up? Good morning.
Wow, Romy, you ain't the only one that's been here for 20 years. What in the Judas Priest is she talking about? Are you banned in Chicago? How do you get banned from a whole geographical location? Airwaves, persona non grata. You're the greatest. So I don't even get it.
Yeah, nor did I, Casey. I mean, maybe look, you know how you're always the last one to know? Maybe I'm the last one to know. Maybe I'm not allowed to go in the Midwest at all. Hey, Texas, am I allowed there still? New York. I'm on the NFL on CBS again this fall. Am I allowed to enter New York? The airwaves. Omaha. Omaha, you still like me, right? I'm still allowed in Nebraska, right? John in Little Rock. John, what's up?
You got it, and I won't bring you down. I'm a smack boy. You know I rock the microphone. I'm a smack, smack, smack boy. And you know I'm gonna call Jim Rom. Smack, smack, smack boy. Give me the stage, I can't leave it alone. Smack, boy. And I'm smacking on all you calls.
Hey, John, talk to me. John, is this a John? John, is this an original? It is, right? John. John.
Hey, John.
John. You're John, you're a smack man. Anyway, I'll tell you what, John. You're in. Give him a golden ticket, Alvy. John and Little Rock.
Because I've got a goal.
Bam, just like that. Another one in the books. Thank you very much for listening. And now do what you do. Hit subscribe, tell a friend, trust the podcast. Thanks for being here. I appreciate you, and I'll see you right back here tomorrow with more Daily Jungle.
My boys call me the Cracker Jack.
That's not a good call. No.
Wow, Alvy.
You don't like that cup.
I don't like that cup. Not a very good cup.
Maybe let that thing breathe for a minute?